The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's The Weekend Podcast and joining me right now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Paddy Bunch. Steve Martin. And Peter Hibber. I'm your host, Justin Wade. Woo! This week on the show.
Title.
What's that?
When did you get your doctor title?
Doctor? What do you mean,
doctor? Did you say Dr. Wade?
Did I say Dr. Wade? I don't think I said doctor. When did you get your doctor title?
Go again.
I must have misheard that.
An odd spin I didn't expect. And we all host Dr. Wade. Yes, this week, guys, I've been studying for a doctorate. Anyway, here we are. It's Saturday morning. And how's the week been for you guys? What's happening? Anything special? Someone's heavy breathing there. I think it's Paddy. Get excited. Overexcited. Calm. Calm yourselves. Calm yourselves now. I went camping last week. I tell you what, I'm gore. I've got lots to say about that.
But I like how you asked us all a question there and then didn't pause to let us answer.
Yeah, well, I just realised we'll do that at the end. We'll get straight to stocks. It's the new format, yeah?
Not about you, more about me.
Yeah, we're breaking it in, yeah. What about you? What do you think of me? Yeah. Okay.
Moving on.
Do you know what I noticed? I've had two baggers in the last couple of weeks. That's all right, isn't it? Hey! In fact, the one did come down. I feel like a bit silly because, you know, Symphony came on the podcast. We're recording it. We released it a day later. And I listened to it as a wear out. I like that. I held Symphony Environmental a long time ago. And they're always on the edge of doing something big, you know, because they're in the right space. They've got IP. I'm now really, it's in my filter anyway, but looking for companies with proper IP, because that's the moat. That is what will re-rate them, and that is what afford them, you know, valuations of multiples of what they are generally, as long as the commercial markets are there. And it's about having an IP for, like I said, I've been watching a lot of Shark Tank. It's very good, actually, Shark Tank. It's the American version of Dragon's Den, but bigger money, you know, bigger guys there, Mark Cuban, who's a billionaire. And you've got to look at proof of concepts. Two kinds of proof of concept. One is, it does it work? Secondly, does it have a market? And that's very important. You know, it's not about having an IP or something. It's like all these people come on Dragon's Den on there or Shark Tank with ideas, and they're solving problems that don't exist. They're pretending it's a problem, and it doesn't exist. We've done it before. It's like someone coming on, you know, trying to solve, I don't know if it's called Dragon's Den, this guy came on with small pencils for kids. No, he said, no, if you notice, kids can't hold pencils. We said, no, we never hold that. You come up with a false concept. And they've had real problems, you know, because they're very long. So you did put small pencils.
And we said, we've got to buy them now, then?
Yeah, well, I don't know if we can.
Steve's interested.
Again, Steve, the proof of concept, you know, it does it work was the first thing. The pencils work, yes. But is there demand for it? That's the second. So there's that kind of thing. Now,
it's like Melody VR.
Yeah, do you know what? I think that's spot on. It's like there's a company there, cracking idea at the start, that right, everyone's going to be VR. They're the only company with it. No one else has got it. And you realise, I wonder why. there's no demand. No one wants it, essentially. I think what there will be demand for, especially during lockdown, unless you can't go, is what you just 3D, or, you know, moving the camera around, those 360 degrees angles of watching concerts, maybe. But I can't see people sitting in their houses with boxes on their heads.
Not even that. No one cares.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think people go to contests for the Atmos, don't they? A bit of Atmos.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting in your house. But yeah, so Symphony Environmental, they've got, you know, plastic technology, plastic that degrades, put an additive to the process when you make it plastic, and it degrades, and it gets down to a certain level where it becomes edible by microscopic little animals. Basically, it dissolves within years, so it doesn't hang around. They've also now, this is very exciting, they've got another technology where it's the additives to plastics and all that stuff, and it's antiviral, antibacterial, and they just want FDA approval for their bread wrapping in anything contact in bread, FDA approval in America. And I said, why is it? It's got to be very specific, of course, because the additives they put in that in the wrap, in the wrapper, it's touching certain foods. So you've got to do it for one food. But the bread market, of course, is massive. You know, anywhere in the world, you know, pretty much there's a lot of bread sold. So they've passed that and now doing commercial trials. So that's going to be massive for them. So I thought, right, okay, I'll accumulate some shares here now. And then by September, when the trials come through, they're going to rally like crazy. But then I bought half the amount I wanted to buy, and they released that news about they've done tests with their chemicals, and it's 99% active on COVID, you know, so it kills COVID. And then it went nuts, so at 200% in a day, I held on, and then didn't end up by 80% up. So people said, did you sell it at the top? Did you sell it? I said, no, I'm not a dirty trader. I'm a wholesome investor.
A little bit you are.
No.
You mean you missed selling it at the top, so you held it on now.
If you'd known that was the top, you would have definitely have sold.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm a long-term investor. Let me tell you one thing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Let me tell you one thing, okay, guys? This is my thought. Do you know who the wealthiest people in the world are? Do you know how you make big money? Who the wealthiest people in the world are? Who are they? Do you know who they are, apart from humans? Do you know who they are?
You're pretty wealthy, aren't you?
Apart from humans.
Yeah, but apart from saying they're humans, what they've all got in common, if you look at the top 10 wealthiest people in the world, pretty much, the majority of them are...
Footballers.
Nowhere near. Business owners.
Companies.
No. I'm saying the answer. Business owners. They own businesses. If you want to be rich, there's only a couple of ways to do it, right? Even not rich. Be, say, directing and the company floats, for example, but you are a business owner, then pretty much, and it goes on to be a big... Or you actually have a business that does very well. Like Jeff Bezos, you know, Bill Gates, all these guys, they own businesses. Now, by buying shares, you are owning a business. So when you buy a business, look at it and think, does this company have the potential to multi-bag? And to do that, it can't, and with good margins, to do that, it's got to have a moat, as Warren Buffett says, it's got to have a moat around it, and that's IP, pretty much. Can anyone do what they're doing? And then also, is what they're doing, is a lot of demand for it, you know? And that's like Symphony, it's got that. And that's why I'm heavily skewed towards companies with IP. And Plarium's got that, you know?
Yeah.
When's that going to go though? What's happening there?
No, but it's going to be a while. Do you see Synergin in the week? That was so annoying. That was so annoying.
That was the one I messaged you all about in the morning, saying this is quite exciting.
Yeah.
And then I went and had some breakfast and forgot all about it. And then I came
it
back
doubled
and
in value.
It was more. It was like 600% up, wasn't it? It was ridiculous.
I don't know about you.
All right, cool, yeah. Brilliant. Yeah,
but do you know what, though? What's annoying is I don't know if I've ever owned them, but they've been around for years, but they're based in Southampton, you know? And my son, Mont, has got a lung condition, so he's been into the department where they're at all the time. He's been there. And I've had Vadim Alexander on the podcast, who's head of healthcare at SP Angel. He owns some. And I said, listen, I shouldn't just get into that. It's a local business. They're really a bit cutting edge there. They are testing the inhale sort of drugs and all that stuff. And also, I should get involved, you know? Just local, that we've had some association with Southampton Hospital. And I never have. And literally, I couldn't believe it when I said, oh, look at that, up 150%. I sent you a picture tonight. Then about 10 minutes later, oh, look, 250%. Oh, look, 350%. And this was within about an hour,
terrific,
pretty much. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I was half tempted to sort of get in early there. And I thought, no, I said, God, it's 100% now, so no point. No, first time I saw it, it was 90% up. There's no point now getting 90%, it'll come back.
Yeah.
150%, it'll come back, it'll come back. And then all of a sudden, 500%! Oh dear! But the thing is...
Did it pull back to anything, or did it stay?
No, it's still, well, at the moment, it's still like, let's have a look. It was only a phase two. I'm not into binary plays, pretty much. You know, clinical trials are very risky. And generally, to go from starting clinical trials from phase one going through all the way through phase three and pass, it's literally about 3-5% chance of you actually getting there. So 95% chance of failure. So you're better off waiting till clinical phase three trials have done, pretty much, and then sort of get in it. But obviously, it's de-risked it, so the share price may have risen by then. But if you find that combination where the share price hasn't really taken off and yet it's still at late stage trials, that's the way to get in. So they're only at phase two. So it wasn't a big amount of people they're testing. So there's still room for failure here on this drug, but they released good news on phase two. So on the morning, Steve, right, on the day before, it closed at 34 pence. It's now £2.04. That's not bad, is it? Yeah, yeah. That's not bad. It's all right. Nice return.
So that's what's that six? And then the other one was two double bag, didn't it?
Which one's that?
Symphony.
Symphony. That wasn't the milestone.
Symphony's pulled back quite a lot.
Yeah, it has.
But like, had we obviously we're not traders, but had we
got involved
in these things that we both that we all sort of knew about.
Symphony,
been quite a successful week.
Yeah, but Symphony is one you need to on weakness. Honestly, it's a buyer, and they've been around for years trying to get this tech away. But now I think regulation is on their side. You know, since David Attenborough bought it to, everyone knew about plastic, didn't they? But then all of a sudden, David Attenborough was a Deep Blue. What's it called? Blue Planet. Blue Planet. Yes, Blue Planet. It's not a porn documentary. It's about the seeds. Yeah, and they showed lots of plastics, and it's awful. The contrast in nature and us destroying nature. You know, these lovely animals swimming through with like bits of plastic next to them, and they, what's going on? And so that wake up call for everyone. And now regulations everywhere, and they're starting to clamp down. But the thing is, with plastic, it's such an amazing product. It's too good. It doesn't degrade, and we create this stuff that does is so versatile. But it doesn't degrade. And so everyone's using plastic for packaging. It's not as easy as just saying, let's do an alternative packaging. You've got companies, massive companies, that are churning out, millions and millions and millions of containers every year. You can't just switch to an alternative. So I think the best alternative is, why not just, introduce some additive that'll degrade the plastic? Just still use it.
Just burn it.
The COVID angle of that story of Symphony. How? At what stage is that? It's proven that.
Well, they've already had an order for close to £1 million for their PPE, and their PPE obviously has this
built in.
Yeah, technology built in. So it's like I said, they've got. Let me just get this positive bovine coronavirus test results. So they said Eurofins tested Symphony's 2 D2P. Vericidal activity agent. Anyway, against international standard ISO. The reduction of 99.84% in it in 24 hours. It reduced the virus by that much. Pretty much, it was negligible after 24 hours. And so they said the official report will come out, but they say it won't change from that. But yeah, so good. But they said they've already had later on training update they've done the 16th of July. It's funny that the plastic degradable thing was the thing, and now this they got two products basically, 2DP and 2D2P designed to protect, and D2W oxybiodegradable technology. But the biodegradable plastic stuff was the thing, but now it's looking like the D2P is becoming the thing. And so FDA approved Symphony's antibacterial D2P. Bread packaging, customer trials progressing well. This should be up in September. So that's the thing. That's the big milestone. So,
it's mad. I mean, I don't know anything about this company. I don't know the history of it. But it's kind of, well done them, like pivoting into that arena in the last probably, 5 months, 6 months?
Well, exactly. That shows to me they've been knocking away. I mean, the board hold a good chunk of stock because they've been knocking around. They've believed in this tech for years, about 15 years. And I've already, this is one of these things like Paros Energy, right? That's been around for ages. They never get that off the ground. All of a sudden,
love that company.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Well, I don't know. I said, it's like gold. Pretty much. And I lost patience with it. I said, I want to get some start generating revenue. And all of a sudden, it went nuts. It went through the ceiling. Yeah. And this is what you do with IP companies in very hot areas. It does. It takes off. It will take off. And that they are pivoting, like I said. And now they are, and not only that. Like they're making, they're not losing money. So in my mind, unlike Powers Energy, which is hydrogen, there's a lot of hype around with that, but they are losing money. But these guys are, they turn over 5 million in the first 6 months. So no, they're not losing a lot of money. So they said there, based on current financial modelling, the group does not expect to need any additional cash in the next 12 months and will be able to continue to operate comfortably within its current financial resources.
Well, that's big as well, isn't it? That's
good.
So have you put it through all your 9 filters? Is it ticking all the boxes?
It does. But not now, because apart from the chart one now, of course, because the RSI has gone berserk.
Oh, yeah.
But literally, a couple of days back, it just came from oversold on the 16th of July when they had that result out, actually. It just came from oversold. It's heading towards, 50. So it's all there. It's all there. You know, so I like it. But I'd say, listen, this is one. I expect now no more news to come out for a month, maybe so. And that's when you know, someone said to me, oh, I missed that, should I jump in now? And I said, listen, what you got to think is that think in weeks or months when you're buying. Think, okay, well, I probably get a better price than today, which is a day they release really hot news and it's risen like crazy, or the next day where people are still talking about it, or am I likely to get a better price over the next week or so if they don't release any news? So it's just probably, you just got to wait and have a bit of patience. You know, people will forget about this. Other stocks will release news. People will be more excited about that. People, traders will jump to that one and pump that one. All of a sudden, yeah. Symphony will be forgotten about for a few days, even weeks, and you can jump in on the quiet when no one's looking. Ha, I've got some. No one was looking. I took some. And you can do that. And then... Right. And then all of a sudden, just wait for the news to roll by, you know?
Okay, interesting. It was a classic example this week. I was just busy with work and whatever, and you WhatsApped us the day before when they were just announcing their results, and they were doing... Yeah. I don't know, what made you buy on that day?
I wrote a blog about them about 3 years ago, and I thought...
I'll wait 3 years
and I thought... I listened with a cynical ear, and I was saying, yeah, we've heard all this before. But this FDA approval is massive because FDA.
That wasn't on that wasn't on the Wednesday, was it?
Yeah, it was. No, that was
the bread packaging thing.
FDA approval for bread packaging. They released that news on. When was it? That news. That they did a market update just on the 16th of July. But back in February was the bread packaging thing, and it spiked then, but it's come back down. Like I said, you know, they released that news back in February, and it still went nuts, and it came back to this level. So it'll come down again. And until you get to commercial, I think, orders and that. Because I've listened to a cynical ear, because I thought you'd been here before. But I thought, hang on. It's like, no, this FDA thing is actually a bit of a game changer.
Absolutely. But then the very next day, then they released the thing about COVID, and, you know, forgive me for being cynical to that, but like every
other company trying to say something about COVID. It wasn't the next day. 16th of July, they did a trading update, which was just a general update, and we talked about that.
Oh, okay, it wasn't the next day.
And that was the 16th of July. No, and we released the podcast. We were going to release it on the 21st of July. It was a Tuesday, I think, but we had another company on. It was too full. I said, God, do you mind if we push the podcast out to tomorrow? He said, yeah, fine. He and the guy said, fine. And then we pushed it out to tomorrow, and the next day, they released that COVID coronavirus test. So but February was when they actually released the FDA. It's a FDA, the standard for FDA is generally used around the world. It's a world standard pretty much. So you're more likely to get, obviously you'll have to get European pass and some kind of EMA pass in the Europe market. But when it goes through FDA approval, that's a high bench level to pass, you know. And so now, and not only that, there's big enough companies in America who are already testing with bread packaging companies. And so, you know, you imagine the size of the companies in America. All they need is one contract, and it's transformational for them. Because, like I said, they're only doing, about 10 million a year or sort of, 8-9 million a year in revenue. They could probably do that with one client, you know. So it's big. And then all of a sudden, once you get one big client on, others will jump on it. Why wouldn't you? If you've got, a company in America saying, packaging is antiviral, antimicrobial, their competitors are going to say, whoa, hang on a sec. So they're basically saying our bread now could be covered in viruses and fungi and bacteria. Mm. They've got to have that.
Is bread packaging being covered in viruses a big issue?
People touching it.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got bakeries, right? People stand next to each other. Have you seen all these places where people are working, like in close proximity? You know, they're swimming in viruses. Just going forward, why wouldn't you protect the food you eat? You know, those pig plants and all that. See, it's meat, see? You're killing animals.
That's the case of any food, though.
Yes, any food. I know, but what you're saying is, I said, why bread? Do you have to be specific? He's, because there's food. You have to obviously test the antimicrobial, antibacterial properties on any foodstuff. So it's a long process doing it. So you can't say, okay, and it covers bread, it covers all kinds of food. You can't say that because you've got to test that, the additives, their chemicals, their IP on every kind of foodstuff. And you have to do a rigorous report on it, like 1,000-page documents going through tests, independent tests and all that stuff. So they've gone with bread because they thought it was a big market. Of course it is. Mm. Who doesn't eat bread? You know?
Mm. I presume it covers all, like, a wholemeal and, white and brown.
Yeah, cobs, bats, all those, Krusty loaves, French sticks, yeah.
Good. It's also one of those things where even if it's not necessary, people will think it's necessary because they're a bit stupid like that, aren't they? People think, I don't want viruses on my bread.
The thing is,
there was never viruses on your bread to start with.
It's a brilliant marketing
tool. Hang on. With the prevalence of COVID-19, listen, we still don't have a vaccine for it.
I'm not sure that the big transmitter is bread.
They say that it can stay on surfaces, the bacteria, for like 3 to 4 days, depending on what it is.
They've since said that's possible if in a sort of scientific environment, if you swab it, then like realistically, no one's catching COVID from bread.
They're catching it from being next to someone on the tram coughing. But hang on a second, you do everything you can to kill this virus in any situation you can. If you can introduce it into packaging, PPE equipment, you know, gloves, hands, facial masks, they've all got this antimicrobial sort of tech in it, and that will kill. Why not? It's all going to help in the battle, isn't it?
Completely true. Yeah, why not? But in reality, I would have thought this is going to be a game changer in terms of COVID.
Technology then being able to be put into PPE. That's also there.
So I mean,
I would say things like door handles would have been the better thing.
But putting the door. It's not a big market. Is it door handles?
like door handles, buttons.
I know door handles, Steve.
I should branch out.
Just saying door handles slowly.
I know what door handles are, Steve.
Just saying door handles, as if I didn't understand what door handles are. You know, door handles.
Handles for doors.
Door handles. Yeah, sorry, Steve. I thought you meant these other things.
You got it now, you? Here you go.
Plastic door.
Email them, Steve. We've got door handles, guys. And they come back, we've not really done that. Email them again. No, door handles. Door handles. God, what's wrong with you guys? Do you know what I like, right? Listen, I want to talk about number one most followed company today on Vox is what?
BT.
Nope.
Symphony Environmental.
I tell you what, it's not. I've been there for a couple of days, but second is Synergen. People are still chasing that. People didn't understand. People are still ramping that, right? They bought too high. They're still ramping. No, this could go to the moon. This could go to the moon. No. It's made the big move. Move on, find another stock. Don't buy at the high. It's amazing. Most followed companies on Vox, I often say, it's always worth looking at that list and look at the ones that haven't moved. If you see a company that's in that list that's been there for a couple of days and it's not moved in share price, it's worth researching. Now, if a company's not in that list that's moved like crazy, ignore it because it's on the move, you know, pretty much. Synergen was, it doesn't happen very often. It's an anomaly. Normally, when a company rises like 100% in the morning, it'll drop back, you know. There's very little chances. I remember it happened with the independent oil and gas a while back where it went 100%, I thought I wouldn't stand in there now, and end up like 5% up. It doesn't happen very often. It happens once a year, maybe if that, where companies keep going after rising first 100%. So, you know, you could have bought the spike there and it'd have been fine. But generally, when you buy a spike, you lose money. You know, you'd be sitting on a loss for a while. So you should never buy spikes. But anyway, Synergy is number two. Number one is Clearstar.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've heard all about these. Yeah, well, Tell us more, Justin.
Oh, I will. I sent an email out last night, right? This company, I think, is massively undervalued. It's 12 million market cap, right? That's what it is. It turned over $23 million, £18 million last year. That was 14% increase. It started this year with the biggest pipeline it's ever had. This has been the busiest, most contracts ever had, and then COVID kicked in. Now, what they do, they're a tech-enabled screening company, background screening for employees. They work with recruiters and employers, normally big institutions, like people who hire hundreds and thousands of people, and NASDAQ listed companies. But of course, you know, we've had the worst ever, you know, layoff situation in our lives since the 1930s. You know, it's massive. We've never seen anything like this before. We've had like 30 million Americans got unemployed. So, of course, you know, they're right in the storm of it, you think. They did an update, and I was sort of worried about where this was going. They did an update. They've not lost one client, and basically, their revenue for the first half is down 1.4. So they did 11 million last year, 11.7 million last year, they did 9 million this year. So they've lost about a month and a half, pretty much, of revenue. That's all. That's all they've lost. This is the worst ever situation we've had employment since the 1930s. And now they've won clients as well, and then their revenues tick back up. And I think, wow. And they break even, the EBITDA positive in May, June. And so we've gone back to normal levels. We've also won a NASDAQ listed company and all this stuff. So I just think, the stock is held very tightly. The city owns 26% of the stock. It's tech enabled. It's a small cap. It's very little volume. Very unknown. I think it'll double quite easily because it's just very tightly held. I think there's a seller in there, and that's what probably why it didn't rise on Friday, because the volume went well and people started following it. But it's going to be, it'll do well. It just needs people to know about it. No one really knows about it. I mean, I've gone through looking. You've got to think of this, right? Have we seen the worst? Well, I believe we have, because we've had a false shutdown of the economy. And of course, not everyone will go back to work. And a lot of people will be laid off. In fact, a lot of employers will use this as an excuse. You know, you get failing sort of retailers will use this saying, oh, well, no, it's COVID's, you know, tucked us up. But they'll get rid of a lot of people. But after the last great financial crisis, it took 10 years, pretty much. We just wiped out 10 years worth of employment. So we're now in the hiring stage now, pretty much. For the next 10 years, the firing stage has happened. We'll have a bit more firings going on over the next few months as furlough schemes come off. Of course we will. But we are now in a secular bull market as far as the hirings are concerned. And now who will benefit from that? ClearStar. You know, they will do very well over the next 5 years. They're already, this was going to be their best year. They're just starting to gain traction with big companies. And yet, COVID stepped in and pulled the rug from under them. But they've already bounced back. They said, you know, we are now back at levels we're at in February before COVID kicked in. And it's looking good. So I just think it'll do very well. It's 12 million. That's all it's got. 12 million market cap. It's like, you know, look at a company with tech enabled. You know, the founder basically owns a big chunk of stock. You know, it's growing at a nice rate, about 14% revenue increase last year. And yet, it's way below its annual revenue. It lost 1.4 million last year. I think it's, like I said, it'll get close to break even this year. And in fact, it probably could have become profitable this year if it wasn't for COVID. But they'd be close to break even. They've got cash. To me, I hate the word, I hate the phrase no brainer because nothing's a no brainer. But it's so undervalued. 12 million market cap. Look around. Look at any company. Turning over 18 million, close to break even, in now a very hot market, which is hirings. That's, you know, there's been more hirings over the next 10 years than anything else. Look at the government. If we don't hire, the reason why we had the Great Depression was because the government didn't stimulate, pretty much. It took World War II, to stimulate the economy, to get people back into work. Now, they know that, and they've learned from that, and that's why they're pumping the economy. President Trump, Dani. Big election coming up. The most embarrassing thing is not to win a second term for any president. You know, it's very rarely done. And do you know why when it's not done? Generally when the economy is not doing well. Now, Donny will do his utmost to get the economy working well. What does that mean? That means jobs. You know, so they will do everything they can to boost the job market in America. And this ClearStar is basically predominantly based in America. All his businesses there. He will do everything he can to stimulate the job market, get people back into work as fast as they can. So ClearStar are the clear winners in this, just from where we are placed right now and politically, everything. I think it's in the sweet spot, and I think they'll do very well. And
what's their competition like?
Well, there's lots of competition. They are a little bit different, isn't it, than they got tech. You know, they're tech enabled. It's a lot easier, a lot faster.
That's what I mean. Sorry, in terms of what their USP kind of thing.
So their tech and their systems are integrated into many recruiters' systems. So they not only do it themselves by direct sales, but they're also, you know, in this. they're also embedded. Their tech is in other recruiters, so they get, you know, payments for that. But if you look at some of the companies, I mean, if you look at the trading update, I'll get it up here. But they've done a NASDAQ-listed company, done an HR company, hires 4,000 positions a year. You know, these are big companies. They've done an investment bank, who's a household name, apparently. This is just this year. So if you look at the traction they're getting, it's with big companies. And they don't need a lot. Like I said, there's only value at 12 million. We're not saying they have to conquer the market here. We're saying they have to get a small piece of it in now a market that's going to be essentially hiring for the next 10 years, you know.
But even if it wasn't, like, still, like, the companies are going to be looking for the most efficient way to hire. I mean, if you've ever recruited, you'll know how time-consuming that can be. So anything that can help you make a good decision, there's lots of sort of AI being built into these systems now, and to build CVs.
Exactly. And they do medical. They're one of the business sectors, their medical background screening checks. They are quite specialised in the medical background, so they check people's medical history, all that stuff, very quickly and very efficiently. And so they've even now got a COVID test thing for people, so they can, you know, if your company wants to check for whether someone's had been infected, they've got that as well. So it's all that. So they do medical, you know, everything. So I just think they're in a really sweet spot at the moment, and they're little known, and they're growing. And so I think it'll do very well. So ClearStar, CLSU, but Robert Vail is the CEO. He's quite, you know, he's quite honest. You see him on the, if it's going badly, he'll tell you. He's like, in fact, a guy contacted me on Twitter yesterday, said, I saw the CEO interview, and he's quite downbeat. And I said, yeah, and this was before this last update. I said, yeah, I know, well, you know, that's quite honest, considering he owns 26% of the company.
Yeah.
That's quite honest, isn't it? But no,
he wants to buy more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know. I tried to text from someone saying, Synergy, I did.
What?
Someone said down the road, down the road from me, said, just sent me the Guardian piece on Synergy. Said, if only we'd known about this, we could have invested.
I
just texted back.
Yeah, we did. Justin did.
We still didn't.
I know. Anyway, that's ClearStar. I tell you what, did you notice the volume in talking about Synergy, Polarian, right? We'll do.
No, hold on. You've done three questions in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I believe Polarian, because it's IP, it's pretty much there. It's got all of these FDA approvals. It's gone through all clinical phase 3 trials, all trials. I believe it'll do a sort of Synergy style move because the market is that big.
They just need to release an RNS with the word COVID in it and that'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I said to you before when you know Symphony announced that RNS, I said I haven't got enough of this stock, but hopefully it won't go bananas because anything with COVID mentioned in it will. And it just went bananas. Like I said, I mean, you know, CEOs must know that now. You know, it's like before, put the word blockchain in, but going back to the .com boom, put the word .com in, we changed it on .com, and it would double. So, you know, so put COVID in your RS titles, everyone. I think you've lost, you know, but no, there's still stuff, momentum there. You know, still put that in your RS title, and it'll do well, generally. You could probably, you know, do a test. Say, we've looked at RNSs with COVID in the title, and they tend to do about 25% better than those RNSs without COVID in the title. So, if I were you, CEOs, I'd put COVID in the title. If I were you,
but it hasn't worked for bids, has it?
Have they put it in there? They haven't put it in there,
they? Yeah, they have. Several times.
Have they?
Yeah, people staying at home, locked down, playing more computer games.
Have they put it in the trading update? They haven't put it in the title. That's what they need. So they can allude to it and all that stuff. Yeah, but that, yeah. I do, you know what, when I read an RNS about COVID, they start off with, you know, first and foremost, I've got to say, we've kept our employees and safe. I don't care about that. I don't care. Do you? Don't care about that. Just tell us how your training is going.
Just fluffing up. Someone needs to teach companies in general how to write RNSs. There are some really good examples, and there are some absolutely, like C4XD are awful at writing an RNS.
Do you know that's what PR are about? See, some people with PR, but again, some PR are dreadful. I mean, most PR companies I deal with, honestly, just get in the way, they try and justify their money, you know. But yeah, I know that there's certain people who can read an RNS. They've almost like you, when you get the facts there, think, right, what's the best way of presenting this? Always have bullet points, you know, make the most bullish bullet point number one, you know, and then.
Get the word pleased in the first sentence. That's all I'm looking for, the word pleased.
Delighted.
Yeah. Beyond our expectations. Yeah.
Thrilled.
This is achieved wildly beyond our expectations.
Yes. And
that's bullet point number one. All that stuff. But, you know, don't put long, chunky paragraphs, text where you can't see. This is ridiculous, I know. But anyway. So I think Polarian will do. You know, I just think it's got that 10-bagger feel all over it. It's one of those companies that you'll need patience, but it'll pay off. You know, it's
because you said there's a seller in there with Polarian at the moment.
No, with ClearStar. There may be a seller. There's always sellers, isn't there?
There's always a seller. There's always a seller every single time.
Yeah, if you look at the placing price, the last placing price for Polarian was about 16 pence, isn't it, or 18. So you know, look at double that. People are selling the thing. So yeah, but it's only. You know, this could be 300-400 million market cap company, easy. But you know, it's the volume on Salt Lake on no news.
When you say volume, what do you mean? You say this all the time, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, just the loudness of the volume.
How loud he's talking.
Yeah, I need to take. Well, Pete, I'm going to get my top off. I'm very hot at the moment. I'm not going beard topped. I've got two tops on. But Pete can, I'm sure, tell you what volume is. Hang on.
Well, it's not volume, it's like the number of shares being sold. But how do you compare that with what it would normally be?
Well, it says daily volume. So how much that's indication of, obviously, how much is being traded. And then you that's an indication of popularity. And that's then reflected in share price.
But does it say average volume anywhere?
If you look on Vox here, right, on the front page, if you go to any company, you'll have the price snapshot. Yeah, price snapshot.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, so you have the obviously a logo, the follow button, and the price, and the percentage rise, and the amount of risen. Then below that, you'll have the bid and ask, you know, the high, the low, the open, the close, the volume, which is the day's volume of the day, and the average volume. This is averaged over, I think, about 20 or 30 trading days. So you get the average trading volume, and you see that something like 20 or 30. You'll see that AWAP, you know, average weighted volume, and that's what people say. Okay, so now if the volume is consistently above that average, then obviously it'll push that average up slowly. But that's always good. That's good. If you're getting volume that's above the average daily volume of the last 20 days, that's quite good because there's a lot of liquidity in the stock. There's more interest in the stock, and like I said, when we first started Gfinity, their average daily volume was about 3 million. And now it's up to 14 million. And that's a big rise because obviously it has to be way above 3 million to get the average up to that level. So that's a massive, that's very good. That's showing, and now their average volume is a lot higher. Like I said, there's a lot more people trading stocks, a lot more liquidity. That means the spread on the bid ask is smaller. But it just shows general interest, you know. And a lot of people come to the market or do PR or they go on podcasts to get retail investors involved because they may be a company where either they're new or maybe they're a bigger company with institutional investors who will sit there and never trade. And they've got no liquidity. No one's look at the, it's, you know, it's gutting for people or companies. You imagine, you know, having a company listed on the stock market, and no shares have been traded at all. No one's interested in your stock, you know. So it's always nice to have your shares being traded back and forth. Oh, it's quite annoying if people are trading it down all the time, of course. But I mean, it's liquidity there. And so, if you look at Salt Lake Potash, I mean, they're due to release the news on debt funding to finish off this Lakeway. They're pretty much all the way there, 80 or 90% there anyway, on the operations. There's needed debt funding to finish it off. And they said end of June there was delays, but apparently now, before the end of July, and the volume's gone up in the last couple of days on no news whatsoever. And I've had someone contact me saying, I got a good feeling it's going to happen this next week. And I thought, I hope your feeling's right, but how do you know that? And they said, well, I've seen some big trades go through.
Because I own a lot of the stock.
I own a lot of the stock, but I said, I've seen some big trades go through over the last couple of days over no news. And generally, Salt Lake is 180. It's not a hugely traded stock. It's, you know, it's a big... but, yeah, double the volume pretty much yesterday and day before. And so volume's a good indicator. Cause if you... I try to do
it. Just to say, if it does come off and it does kind of push on up from here, you know, we have bought, hopefully, in a very, if you look at the chart, in a very good place.
Like, yeah. What are we saying on that one? What are we expecting?
This will be 100 bagger.
100 bagger? Okay.
Conservative estimate.
No, do you know what?
Over what period?
Have you seen that book? There's a book out called 100 Baggers. And,
did you write it?
I've just ordered it. The average one is like 35 years or something.
No, yeah. I just ordered it. Yeah, but that's fine, Steve, isn't it? Because let's be honest. If you
haven't got 35 years.
Salt Lake Potash. I know. But Salt Lake Potash, right? No, but let's say if you wait, say, 20 years, right? No, and that's one of the things. There's a book called 100 Baggers. This guy's looked at all the 100 baggers pretty much that ever existed in America, and he's looked at certain traits, you know? And I sent you the thing, 10 traits. And this other guy did a summary of the 10 things he learned about the book. Where is it? I'll find it now. Fifth person, 100 baggers. And the first one was, you got to have patience. Find the right company that has the potential to do 100 bagger. You know, they have the resources, they have the team, you know, everything's in place there. But it's a number one, a company needs an extended period of high growth to become 100 bagger, you know? And so you can make it at first a quick double, but as the company gets bigger, it becomes harder to double again. But generally, it's taken, 15 years? Yeah, so
it took Synergen, or whatever they're called, 3 hours.
On average, companies in the survey conducted by Mayer took 26 years to become 100 baggers. that's good though, isn't it? You mentioned something, it's basically a company paying you for 26 years and it's doing well. So
you're never going to get one, are you?
And I will. No, the stocks I have now I'm going to hold for 100 years. No, not 100 years. For 26 years. Sure.
Remember this.
Cool.
I'm nearly 50.
Next week, I've sold them all.
I'm only 50.
Yeah. I've got a new strategy, lads.
No.
I sent a spreadsheet out.
Listen, there's a couple of companies. There's a couple of companies I want to hold that have IP. They have good IP. The share price has risen, and I'm looking at them. I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to push them up any higher because people may buy them. But I mean, they're not at the right level. They've had a good rise recently. They have to come back a bit. But one of the things is have patience, okay? And one of the things is a buy right and hold on. So said. If you buy right at the start, getting the right price early on, you know, that's a good start, just, and then stay there. So like I said, at the moment, for example, Gfinity, we bought right there. You know, we bought really, it's doubled quickly. Now, give it time. It's a business that's transforming. You know, it's heading towards profitability. Give it time. It'll grow. You know, John has ambitions to take this company a lot bigger. Of course, the share price has gotten down. That's not reflective of what's going on behind the background, though, because it's not released news recently. So they reckon they'll be break-even this year, profitable in Q1. So give it time. It will have dips, but if you sell it in those dips, you may miss, you know, upswing. So that's, I'm going to try to adjust this, because I want 100 baggers. That, like I say, one company can transform. If you get 100 bagger, that's all you need. You know, really, you know. You're always being profit in your portfolio. And then you get a couple of other decent ones. It's fine.
That 26 years it takes. In the meantime, the rest of your portfolio crashes through the floor.
There's another one here. Number 7, owner-operated companies tend to vastly outperform the broad stock market over long term. These are the companies that have the founder holding a big chunk of stock. That's a clear star like that, tend to hold. Yeah. That could go on now. Like I said, they started to have the best year ever in 2020, and COVID pulled the rug from under these. They could go on, you know. To now outperform for a long time, 10 years I think of hirings we've got going on now. They're in the right spot and they're getting traction amongst big companies. They could do very well over the next 10-20 years.
Can we talk about C4XD and Pete, what happened on Friday, because I'm confused by.
So there's they have an agreement. It's gone on years, hasn't it? They have an agreement with a company called Indivior.
Indivior.
Had a long-running battle in the legal courts, and they've now reached in the US, and they've now reached an agreement. And they won a grant going back probably this time last year, last year, won a grant to develop C4XD's drugs, and C4XD then stands to earn royalty payments from that. And so now with this agreement in place, so the whole legal action and all that has just, you know, slowed everything up and has got in the way. Now that's resolved. Obviously, green light for Indivior to crack on with this work, which is great for them and also then great for C4XD. So that was announced Friday afternoon. So, yes, saw a nice spike in C4XD. Let's hope that continues now, because they'd obviously... they kind of hit an all-time low, and let's see where we go from here. But it's a good start, hopefully.
Yeah. So they received an upfront payment, didn't they? About $10 million from them, I think.
Yeah, so now it's $280 million on top of that, or something, dollars, potential royalty.
And it'd be nice to see a good RNS from them on Monday morning, wouldn't it? A well-written, excited RNS.
Yeah, so what
RNS.
Time is... I'm reading the Indivior announcement. They've got to pay, under the terms agreement, the group will distribute payments of $100 million the week of the plea is finalised. Subsequently, there will be 6 annual instalments of $50 million from January 15th, 2020. Okay, so they're around about $600 million they owe them, though. But Indivior, for example...
But over many years.
Indivior, obviously, they're in money. They're at $618 million market cap. So, of course, C4XD, when they hooked up with those originally, the share price went through the... See, Pat, patience. I've always said, don't deadhead.
Yeah. Do you still own Justin? No.
If you see the potential in these companies, you know, just hold on. Even though you're like 98% down, what are you at? How much are you down?
I'm only 81% down now.
Oh, cool. That's good. When was that deal?
You could average down, you see, and if it's going to get recovery, then you're...
Wow, and now you're talking, actually. You know what I mean? Like, it only takes like 100 quid and I've averaged down dramatically. I might actually do that. Why the hell not?
Yeah, well, exactly. They'll bring your average down. It's good. Yeah. So where was the collaboration with the thing? I want to find out where it was. When was it? 2018, was it? Not how long ago.
It's been going on for so long.
The collaboration with... No, that was...
Indivior deal. That's it. 24th of March, 29th of March 2018. Indivi deal worth up to $294 million to C4XD.
That's right, but then the grant was awarded last year.
So C4XD received a $10 million up front, $10 million up front, and that was that. The share price popped. And that was when the share price was quid, wasn't it? And it popped up to like something ridiculous, and then
that's where I got in.
Yeah, that's where you're going. See. Buying spikes never works, you know.
It wasn't a spike; it was a dip. It was down day.
Exactly.
It was definitely a down day.
I've always bought below a quid. I bought two or three times, and I'm always below a pound. It's just since then sunk to like 13.
Do you know what, boys? Do you know what? Looking at the chart,
What does the chart say?
Since literally 2018, the share price hasn't been above the 200-day moving average, which is regarded as the granddaddy of the moving averages. Bear case above that, bullish below that. It's not strictly true, of course. You can go above that and then come back below it. But they've never been above that since 2018. They're now, on this news, they've shot past it. The 200-day moving average was at 15 pence, and now they're 18.8. So this may be a re-rating. And we've had a long... bottom and a gradual sort of, you know, plateau in the share price. So we may have seen a bottom here. C4XD has shown it's its bottom, I think.
But the thing was, the news came kind of... because of US, it came late Friday here in the UK, and we did see a spike in C4XD. But I sort of think then going into a new week, as this news becomes more widespread, I would hope to see... Yeah. Let's hope to see a little bit more of a rise here.
They've got to capitalise on this, haven't they? I sent them an email in the week because I was so annoyed at the lack of communication.
Did you actually send them an email?
I did actually send them an email, yeah. I was just like well furious. Done. Like, guys, come on. Like,
I love it.
I know nothing's going on, but just tell us nothing's going on. Like, you can still write an update about what's happening with these like 10 drugs, whatever it is they're developing, rather than just silence for months.
Yeah. What do you actually say to them? What do you say, dear Clive?
I just said, is it possible to engage a PR company to actually do some PR on your
ask him to come on the Vox Markets podcast. I understand you should say the Vox Markets podcast is well listened to by private investors and highly regarded. Just say, why didn't you appear on there with Justin? He's a fantastic interviewer. I've never met him myself, but apparently he's a very nice guy. He would love to interview because I know he's had an interest in the company. So you just do that. Just get him on the podcast. What are you doing, Clive? What's happening, Clive? You must be annoyed.
Whether they come on the podcast or whether they just write a decent RNS, I don't know. Then this is an opportunity to really sell the company, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's one of our drugs that's now going to be successful, hopefully, and we have 9 others that are all like amazing. Buy some of our shares, guys.
They're building up the pipeline of drugs, and then we've now got 700,000 drugs ready for commercialisation. Just commercialise one of them.
One's going to be related to COVID.
Just get COVID in there somewhere.
And amongst that, the supercharged, you know, sort of engine churning out these preclinical novel drugs. In one of these, it's going to be one good for COVID. Surely, Clive.
Absolutely.
It must be. Just put that in your RNS.
Can I just say, what does the C stand for in C4XD?
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah. come on, Clive. The thing is, Pat, in reality, you probably saw the first line of the email. Oh, we got another one, Clive. Delete. There's another shareholder, unhappy shareholder. Brilliant, delete. Yeah,
they're right. Just too busy developing drugs. That's all they do over there. They're just like developing them all the time.
Yeah, and stiffen them by looks at their RNSs.
I'm tempted to average down now because now that we've got a bit of clarity.
Hang on, first of all, the most important thing, right, in pre-revenue companies or loss-making companies, most important thing, don't average down yet unless you know what the cash is. Do you know what the cash is or not?
Disastrous fundraise about 6 months ago where they I think they said they had loads of money for like a year, so it's probably six months worth of cash, but then they're going to get payments for this
did a placing in May, didn't they, in May this year? So
no, it was earlier than that, wasn't it?
Successfully they've gone down. They were raising. It's amazing when you got something like what's that guy, the star fund manager, Woodford. Yeah, he wasn't he backing them for a while, I think, and he's put up the cash. You know, they were raising 10 million chunks back in the day, and now 1.6 million they raised in May. So what was the price of that? Is that
Well, in January, its revenues dropped to nil, so that wasn't a great RNS, that one, was it? C4X losses widen as its revenue drops to nil.
That's when you email them again going, can we leave that RNS out now? Just don't message that.
Is he trying to sort of, crater the share price on purpose? And saying, let's you can write the worst RNS on the news we've got. I'll pick the worst one and we'll get out there, see what happens.
At least put the word pleased in the first line.
Yeah. They've raised, they got 1.5 million, what is it, 15 pence, I think it was. We'd like to have a Polycaptica, so we can do, I don't know, well, it's May, it's not far off, is it? It kind of burned through that. But the trouble is, clinical trials, or preclinical they are, but, drug discovery is quite expensive,
Yeah.
And you get no revenue, you just commercialise, that's why. It'd be nice to jump on here. I mean, you're probably going to average down at the lows, and you don't need a lot to average down, like you say, because you're down already.
No, that's not the point.
So they got a bit of money from me. They kind of burned through that already. But I wouldn't be surprised if they use this this rise and the news coming out, because they've been writing an RNS now for Monday, thinking, right, we can get a bit of fundraising away from this, hopefully. So I wouldn't be I'm not saying they're going to do that. They could do. If I was them, I would. They've got no cash. They're not generating cash. They're always going to need cash. So you do it when you can. Now the share price is above where it was last time. So you always want to try and raise money higher than the last previous fundraise, because then you show the previous investors, look, we're raising it now at 20 pence. You put in at 15. So come on again. So that's what we want to do.
The development of that one drug that Indivior are involved in, that's funded by that grant, and that my understanding is that they'll be cracking on with that now. So that moves on that whole. That's just one strand of the business, isn't it? But that's kind of catered for. That's what the price rise will be related to, rather than the overall business. If that makes sense.
Yeah, but do you know what? I can't believe that on the 5th of June they've missed the best opportunity ever. 5th of June, right? Clive Dix appointed to the UK vaccine task force. That's the title of their RS. Clive, put COVID in the title, please. So Clive, the king of Clive's the king of COVID. Yeah. He's the man. He's going to kill it. He's the hero. He's the man who's going to kill the vaccine. You put anything in it. And all is subline, government's task force to lead UK efforts to deliver a COVID-19 vaccine. He's in. He's one of the guys. That's a perfect example of a huge golden market opportunity they've missed, haven't they? COVID,
Well, they pushed it out. I remember seeing it, but it didn't really have a...
But it's not in the title. Put COVID in the title. That's number one rule. Please, learn this, artist. Just, Clive Dix appointed to UK vaccine for COVID-19. So, wow, that's almost like a good PR company would spin that to the point where, the UK government's relying on C4XD to come up with a vaccine. They've been the main man from COVID, he's leading the task force. He's the head of the UK now for this. But no, they haven't done that. They've hardly mentioned it. So it's a subline.
So going back to the whole funding issue or cash, absolutely, yes, they might need to raise. But at the same time, this arrangement with Invidior, they're currently C4XD market cap, even after the rise of share price on Friday, market cap 22 million. And, that's a fraction of what they stand to gain from the arrangement of that one drug. So that's why I see potential increased share price next week. And that's why I have to stand, regardless of the fact they may well need to do some fundraising. Yes.
Well, look at this. Clive Dix, right? He's been... I'm helping you guys here, right? Clive Dix has been appointed to deputy chair of the steering board for the UK Vaccine Task Force, the group set up by the government's chief scientific advisor, deputy chief medical officer. So basically, this group has been set up by the government's chief scientific advisor, deputy chief medical officer, business secretary, health secretary, to lead the UK efforts to find the manufacturer of COVID-19 vaccine. He's the deputy chair of that, and yet we've not even put that in the title. He's like, what the heck?
But it's also like something that you can update regularly.
Yes.
No? Like there'll be stuff, like you can just keep on dripping that news coming out.
The development of the vaccine is vital. Tests will be assembled to put together. They'll be using, Clive could put in there, our discovery engine is the most, most effective, most efficient in the country, in the world. If we can't find a vaccine, no one can. or whatever. Oh, we're going to help in the... No, no, that's a bit too bullish for us, but I mean, I just think they've missed a massive opportunity there. And that can be updated, like say, you know, it's dynamic. The news is always rolling on COVID-19. They could be, you know, updating all the time. Who's selling there? Can you not go to the toilet, Steve?
Steve.
Not me.
I'm just making a coffee, lads.
Oh, I see. I see. Bally and Gifford is selling down, isn't it? They're 6%. They'll be using that to sell down. So there's some opportunity there. So they're down below 5% now. Bally and Gifford. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Where are they at? Yeah. Polar Capital. Oh, they've gone up. Obviously, Polar Capital helped them in the fundraise. They went from 10% to 13%. Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be one of those stocks. It'll get back to like 50 or 60p, and I go, see, when I were talking about it, it was 19p. I should have averaged down then. So that's why I'm going to average down.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Have you? Yeah. Listen, there's patience and there's delusion, guys. You know.
Yeah, I know.
But
I like a healthy dose of both.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, with C4XT. No, let's be honest. There's a huge potential there. But where I made a mistake is, and I suppose. To be honest, even Clive Dix didn't expect it to take so long to generate some revenue here, and didn't see that litigation happening in America with Indivia. So, you know, that's been a problem, hasn't it? And that's why the share price has tanked. But when you're in pre-revenue stocks like that, or stocks that will get a lumpy upfront payout, you've got to be careful and realise, okay, listen, are they actually generating, you know, regular income or cash? They're not.
No, not yet.
And
no.
They're burning a lot. And so, you know, yes. Always look at companies. Like I said, I mean, I would still be interested in C4XT. Of course I would, because, like I said, they've got a different kind of approach to drug discovery. It's drug discovery, like on steroids, you know, that using that old term, because they're doing lots. Every year they find a new, some novel drug, and they'll try to attack it. Big markets as well, end markets. So, yeah, I like the thing, but again, it's one of those things where you may hold forever. And but it's got to know. I see people holding on to companies, right, on Twitter, for example, and these companies obviously haven't got 10, 20, 100 bag of potential. Why hold on to them, be deluded about them, think it's going to be huge? They're not. Mm. Like some retail stock or just some kind of events company or something. And I said, no, don't. But if you're going to cling on to a company that could be like, you know, 100 bag of material. And C4XT could be. It could be. Especially from this level, it could. Yeah. And so, yeah, at least if you're going to be delusional about a company or hold on to one, yeah, have patience, but don't be delusional. You know, at least pick the right company to hang on to. And I think C4XT is probably a company that could do very, very well. But again, they need help with their PR. I think they're scientific boffins. They don't care much about they're probably thinking, well, that share price. Clive didn't even know that. Clive bought a quid odd, didn't he? Clive bought 100 grand's worth at like 80, 90 pence. So he obviously thought it was on the up from there. Not the case. Anyway, face coverings now. I don't know. Are face coverings legal everywhere now? Or what's it like in Wales?
No, you don't have to wear them in Wales.
What's happened with Wales? They're insane, aren't they?
Like the power trip, don't they?
It's a bit bonkers, really. But I think you've got to wear them in taxis, I think. But apart from that, like, there's free
just
for
all. They're trying to change slightly from what Boris is doing, aren't they? I think there's nothing more boring than that update from Nicola Sturgeon. They used to have that on about the coronavirus. There was a really fat lady in charge of health. A really fat Scottish lady said, "Look, you can't control what you put in your mouth. How can you be in charge of Scotland's health? You can't get out of your chair for a walk once a day." And I find that hilarious. You can't have really fat people in charge of health. You are unhealthy. You can't tell other people what to do. You know, you should be there. You should be like Joe Wicks. If you ain't Joe Wicks, fair enough. Yeah, you know, I don't mind. But but it's like Wales now. Wales, you couldn't travel 5 miles. Now, you must wear a face mask in a taxi. If you're in a transit van, no need. it's like they just make up their own rules. They go, don't they? Moped, you're fine. Bigger motorbikes, you need a face covering. If you are in a ball pit, you need one. If you're visiting your auntie, don't. If you're visiting your grandfather, you do. It's like, what are you talking about, you simple man?
Chip shop.
It seems like crazy. The rules on face, the positive side of face coverings have been pretty clear for the whole year. Only now are we deciding in England that we need them in shops.
It just shows you what a shambles and what most people, you know, when if you're in life and you're struggling a bit to find your direction in life, don't worry. There are people getting well paid who are struggling for direction. I mean, this government, for example, have no idea. The one thing, what are you talking? It's obvious. Everyone, you know, we're thinking, if you put a face covering on, there's going to be less spit coming out when you're talking. So that's obviously going to cut down on if you're talking to someone. It's obvious, isn't it? You don't need scientific advisors to tell you that. And yet now they start saying, we've had 50,000 deaths. It's already happened. You know, it's ridiculous. Bolting the door off the horse's, locking the door off. As long as the horse got a face mask on, you're fine. But literally,
it's going to be a big face mask, isn't it?
But listen, you go into a shop, if you go into a takeaway shop, a sirloin chips, you have to wear a face mask. If you order a pie, you're fine.
Pie for tea tonight, then?
Yeah.
That's the rules.
Fish and chips, as a stranger, we'll have to discuss the fish and chips one, but definitely Savile, you need a face covering.
He said yesterday, didn't he, Boris, that there's no way that he was quite nice to hear a tiny bit of humility that maybe they've got some stuff wrong. And then he said, but there's no way we could have known what we were facing. And I was thinking, well, no, we sort of could have done. We were a few weeks behind the rest of the world, and there were some good examples already of how to deal with this, and we just ignored them. The big horse racing thing happened, and
when you're faced with something unknown like this, right, and this is why stock markets sell off, when you're faced with something unknown, I think you can't go wrong by erring on the side of caution and just overdoing it on the side of caution. Like, oh yeah, let's do face masks, let's shut the borders down, let's see then what happens, and so let's take all the precautions we can. And then we can ease back a little bit if it's working or whatever. But to just say now, no, we're not going to close the borders and all that stuff. We're not locking down.
We're talking with a bit of hindsight there, though. So,
I know, but let's be honest. Yes, I know, but the countries that closed their borders.
We could also look at the countries that were doing well.
Yeah, we were ahead of the bit behind the curve a bit, and so we could see what was happening. And yet, it was like standing there looking at a tsunami coming and thinking, right, should I get to high ground now or should I go for a swim first? And then, don't go for a swim if I were you. Are you sure, though? I think I've got 5 minutes swim time before the tsunami comes in. It's like, no. Get right off the beach.
Let's have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
But he went even further, though. His plan was to swim into the tsunami. He wanted to take it on, didn't he? I mean, there was that speech at Mansion House where he was saying, no, we're going to be fine.
He's got this British, hasn't he, attitude, bulldog of Winston Churchill. It's pretty fake and false and misdirected there. No, it doesn't matter, British. We are immune to the vaccine. We're British. Like, no, you're not. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah,
and then he got it, yeah.
Yeah, I know, he got it. he's shaking hands. Oh, I'm shaking hands with coronavirus people. Yeah, he's intensive. Okay, well then, Boris.
I'm searching them out. I'm trying to find them.
I know, that's
correct. This won't touch me. Oh, I'm ill.
I tell you what, because of this, last week I went camping. You know, I've cancelled the holidays. I think it's cancelled two holidays this year already. So we just went camping, right? And I it's one of these things like having a baby. You know, you look forward to it, and then you have it. And never again. Then you end up, a couple months later past, you say, oh, let's go again. Because your brain is wired to the point where you always remember, I think, positive things in life. You know, like, I always remember the barbecuing, the fire, and the drinking in the evening. And then I never remember the rest of the day, waking up with a hangover, having to go and wash your dishes and share cubicles. And I'm thinking, and I keep thinking to myself, do you remember seeing that tent city in Calais with thousands of refugees trying
the
to get
jungle.
In? The jungle, trying to get into the UK. Now, they're trying to escape that lifestyle, right? They've travelled, and they're trying to... I'm paying money to actually have that lifestyle on a campsite, living off the floor, cooking for 50 minutes to boil some water, taking my utensils down to a shared block to wash them in water next to people I don't really like, sharing cubicles, toilets. I haven't got a dish... I've got a dishwasher at home. I've got a proper chairs I can sit on, comfy chairs. You know, I've got a nice bed... And I'm paying money because my kids love it to actually live like a refugee. And they're trying to escape from that lifestyle. Why am I paying to join that lifestyle? It's insane. And I've got this. We opened the tent up, me and the missus, arguing like hell. And we took a nice couple of pictures, though, for Instagram. It looks like we're having a great time. So we're putting the arguing. Don't put that pole there. So don't clip it on yet. You've snapped that pole. What's up? Have a go at me. Next to us, another couple doing the same, shouting at their kids as well, doing the same. But they had a lot more kit than us. And this is my thought on it, right? Every time we go camping, we tend to buy more kit. We bought a shed load just now from the guy, secondhand stuff on Face Bay, and we bought a shed load, brought beds, because you want to get it more comfortable. You want to make it more like a house. And you realise that's defeating the object. And that's the stage where you are carting your house down to the campsite, pretty much, And you invest so much money into camping over the years. You can check loads. It's like you with C4XD. They put so much time and money into it and thought about it. You've got to get some kind of return on your investment, Even though you hate camping, you don't want to go in any life. I spent so much bloody money on camping. We are going. I hate it. And that's the way it is. I think most of the people on the campsite are like that.
The kids love it, though, don't they?
Yeah, the kids love it. Yeah, that's the main thing.
Just send them off to the scouts, no?
Yeah, but literally, this couple next to us was hilarious. They're just arguing about folding the tent. On their three teenage sons. Just don't fold it there. Don't do not. And it's quite middle class camping. I'm surprised. It's like, you know, it's like, don't do not fold it there. Can you come and help, please? And that's all they did, arguing. They're about 5 minutes in the evening where they got the wine out, where they actually had a good time. And the rest of the day they're arguing. And that's what camping is, essentially, is looking forward. Yeah. Life is a bit like that, right? So looking forward to that bit you really enjoy, where sunset, the weather was nice, sunset was coming down, cooking on the barbecue, having a few drinks, and that's the nice bit about it. The rest of it is just living like a refugee and paying for the privilege.
I think me, Paddy and Steve are sat here going, yeah, that's not our lives, but okay.
Yeah, I know. But that's kind of, never getting, if you have your kids, guys, the kids love it, but they off all day on the bikes on the park, you know. And it's funny, the next day, Mum, do you want me to help follow town because Dad's being an absolute knobhead?
Nailed that.
Yeah, at least I'm doing something. That's all they do, is constantly argue. And then me and Megan look at each other and say, there was this. And everyone around the campsite arguing. But I don't see, there are some adults there without kids. And they go, what are you doing? Go and have a 5-star hotel.
There's no need for that. No, I
think I just want to upgrade for my holidays, not downgrade, you know. I want to spend a week in a 5-star hotel, not living off the floor, you know, looking in the middle of the night for where I can have a pee. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, lads.
It's cheap, though. It's cheap. It's very cheap. Apart from the investment in the equipment. Right, yeah.
But you sold that now anyway.
Yeah. But it's lovely. Where we go is a lovely place, and the family's lovely, but they sleep in a house, of course.
They're not sleeping. Yeah.
They're good. They come around in their quads. They could deliver you, you know, bits of wood for the fire in the evenings and all that stuff. But Megan's asked me to go again this week. And he said, "Are you kidding? Are you absolutely kidding? No way." It's like, I'm a kid. You've got to give a gap at least 6 months, you know. Right. Any other thoughts, guys?
Don't go camping.
Yeah. Anything exciting happened to you this week, apart from camping, for me? Anything for you?
Nothing exciting, I don't think, really.
Right, excellent. Steve?
No, nothing for me, really, either.
Right, good. Pad?
No, nothing I want to talk about.
Excellent. Well, on that positive note, we'll have a nice weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.